So let's move on to types.
Okay.
The final fifth frontier element, yes, of our integral model. What do you mean by types, Ken?
Types is just, again, what we're trying to do with an integral map or model is come up with enough number of categories to be useful in the real world, but not so many that, you know, it's a mess. And it looks like, those subway maps? Have you ever been to the subways? They have those maps of the subway. What is that? It looks like somebody on acid, you know, ate a box of crayons and threw up
on it. An altered state, yeah.
I'm lost. I would never be able to get around a subway system because it doesn't make any sense to me. So you don't want an integral map to look like that. I mean, that's just sort of a bit of a nightmare. So we sort of selected these five kind of main categories. And there can be more, you know, lots more, or even less for that matter. But types is sort of the last major one that we work with. And the reason is that there's an awful lot of mileage comes out of recognizing types in human beings and in all the quadrants and just occasions in general. And types are something that, generally speaking, can happen at any level or stage of development. A classic example is male and female types. That can occur at any of the seven levels we're talking about. And as a matter of fact, a really great image of this in the traditions where you have the seven chakras, there's an image the physicians still use called the caduceus. And the caduceus is this staff, and then there are these two serpents intertwined around it with these wings on top. And that caduceus represents the central staff is the spine with these seven chakras going up it. And the two serpents on each side are Ida and Pingala, which mean lunar and solar energies, or masculine and feminine. And the idea is that each level of development has a masculine aspect or a feminine aspect. And if you happen to be a male person or a female person, you can have any of these aspects in yourself. In other words, males don't just have masculine. They can have masculine and feminine. Some males actually have more feminine than masculine. Same with some females. So it's not a stereotyping. It's just two types of energies, awareness, and so on that can occur. It has a lot of play in today's world because people are really concerned with masculine, feminine types, stereotyping, harassment, all sorts of things. So it's a type that people have sort of in their awareness. And some of the approaches to spirituality that we can talk about, in particular approaches that have been explored by people like David Deida, kind of work with masculine and feminine types of energies as they manifest in each of these three great states of waking or gross, subtle, and causal. So there's a gross masculine, feminine, a subtle masculine, feminine, a causal masculine and feminine. And there are specific exercises you can use to get in touch with those. And again, maybe we can come back to those if you want and go over some of them. Another typology that it can be used is Myers-Briggs, which sort of breaks people down into four major types: feeling, thinking, sensing, perceiving. Another typology that people can use is the Enneagram, which gives you nine basic personality types. There are several different ways to read an Enneagram, but one way is that these are nine different types, and you can have these nine different types at each of the seven levels we talked about. So you can be at the conformist level of development, level three, and be Enneagram type five, or type four, or type two, and so on. So typologies are just things that can be present at any of these states or stages. And lots of people have their own favorite typologies. As I was saying earlier, if you want to, you can use astrology as a typology. And you can be Sagittarius, level 3 Sagittarius, level 4 Sagittarius, level 5 Sagittarius, and so on. So it's simply another type of little mapping system that people find useful in order to navigate the world and their relationships in it. And some people find these typologies useful and some people don't. So it's sort of, you know, you can use it or not depending on how it sets with you.
Do you find it useful?
I do. I find a couple of them interesting. And I think the sort of masculine and feminine one is very interesting as well because it tends to point to sort of two different types of being that we all have available to us. And Carol Gilligan's research also made this kind of famous in a certain sense because she was the first to point out that her research suggested that men and women go through the same hierarchy of stages. That is to say, they go from pre-conventional to conventional to post-conventional, the three stages that she found, but that men go through these three stages with an emphasis on autonomy, rights, and justice, but women go through these stages with an emphasis on care, relationship, and responsibility. So you have sort of two different modes of being at these stages of development. One is sort of autonomous, agentic, analytic, separative, masculine, and the other side is relational, embodied, caring, responsible, touching, and so on. And again, both men and women have these capacities, but it tends to be, they tend to fall into sexes, with men more likely to have a higher part of the masculine and women more likely to have a higher part of the feminine. And it turns out to be a useful typology because all of us, you know, most of us are in relationships, so you're running into this typology all the time. And it really helps to sort of, the same thing that helps if you're talking about stages or lines or any of these things, is not to pigeonhole people, but to learn how to more effectively communicate with them, to learn skillful means, to learn how to interact in a way that you can respect where they are, but also speak in a language that they can hear. So the war of the sexes has always been with us, and it's just as intense as ever, sometimes more so now that we're moving into egalitarian approaches in the workplace, which is exactly as it should be. So keeping in mind that masculine and feminine approaches, I think, is very useful. And again, there are different people, that spiritual teachers that are working with this, and one of my favorites is David Deida, and you can check out some of his books and see what's going on there. And it's very impressive stuff, actually.